This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by Cornell University's Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm the Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science in the Department of Horticulture here at Cornell University, and the following are observations and recommendations for the week of September 17th, 2012. Fall's in the air with ideal weather conditions for working areas in need of renovation. However, two things are causing some pause. First, many areas are still very dry, and the rainfall's been missing them, so seed is sitting there. And second, for those who are expecting to use perennial ryegrass, they are either delaying seeding or changing species due to gray leaf spot. Many golf courses are complaining about persistent dollar spot problems. Even some mention that traditional chemical controls are not working as well. The fall is a time that's beginning to become most conducive to outbreaks. Don't forget to follow good cultural management into the fall by minimizing leaf wetness with fans or dragging and continuing to roll the greens. As we slow the amount of mowing, this allows the leaves blades to on longer and therefore more likely to have persistent foliar disease problems. Changing climate may partially explain Japanese stiltgrass increasing invasiveness from woods to lawn areas. Many of our pre-emergent materials for crabgrass control, when applied correctly in the spring, will provide relatively good control. Rust is still widespread, and some getting concerned about orange dust particles. If you're mowing an area, treat as any particulate and wear a mask. It was another warm week last week. More than 85% of the weeks during the growing season, we've been above normal. This past week, about 2 degrees above. There was high heat stress along the I-95 corridor. Degree days are still accumulating between 100 and 175 for the week and remain about 1 week ahead of last year and more than 4 weeks ahead of the 15-year average. Soils are in the low 60s to mid-70s north to south. Rainfall was fairly widespread, with most areas receiving a half to 1 inch. The most rain fell on northern New Jersey through the lower Hudson Valley with 1 to 2 inches, and the least amount south from southern New Jersey, ET showing at about 3/4 of an inch. Disease risk is starting to slow, but some are still widespread areas of dollar spot and foliar anthracnose. Of course, rust is fairly widespread, and there's great concern for gray leaf spot. Keep an eye out for all of these issues and be mindful of good timing for broadleaf herbicides. High pressure is expected to dominate into Wednesday with normal temps in the high 60s to 70s and lows in the 50s to 60s. Stormy weather expected on Wednesday, and then some unstable and slightly cooler air in the longer term that will lead to a stretch of cool, wet weather. And you can check out all our weather information at our forecast website. The Cornell Cooperative Extension update begins with Emily Selick and Lynn Wilson's Adirondack Report. Received 4 inches of rain in 2 days with 2+ inches coming in about 30 minutes in Saturday's storm. The rains did wash away the dead grass, fill ponds, and make the brooks run, but except for the normally irrigated areas, were still very dry. Two very heavy frosts this week, both heavy enough to delay early play. Fall colors slowly showing. Many will start aeration, first deep time, then immediately after core aeration cleanup and top dress. Stone mold treatments are heading out in the next 3 weeks. The Western New York report from Walt Nelson. Questions about fall fertilization and renovation. Many are just realizing that the turf is not recovering, and in fact, they had a very serious infestation of chinch bug. Nothing to do about that now except get your hands on some endophytic rye or fescues to prevent additional damage next year. The Capital Report, Dave Chinnery. Almost 2 inches of rainfall last week was helpful, but it's still very dry. Many turf areas are still dormant or damaged by chinch bugs. Many are inquiring about overseeding programs and renovations. There's some ideal windows for seeding now to take advantage of great growing weather and prevent weeds, especially winter annuals, from getting a foothold. And the Westchester report from Jerry Giordano. Lots of chinch bug damage in the lab and wide reports of Microstegium, Japanese stiltgrass, often referred to as crabgrass for shaded areas, and therefore the greatest infestations are found near wooded areas. Renovations are ramping up with great weather for working the soil, but still very dry for getting the seed to pop. The regional update comes from Randy Prostack, University of Massachusetts Extension Weed Specialist, about Japanese stiltgrass. Microstegium vineum is a shade-tolerant annual C4 grass. It's a straggling plant, usually 36 inches in height, and the reclining stems can grow up to 40 inches long. Its stems are typically branch rooting at the lower nodes, and the nodes and internodes are smooth and hairless. Long, narrow leaf blades are 2 to 4 inches long, sparsely hairy on both surfaces, and distinctly tapered at both ends. The ligules are membranous and are 1/2 to 2 millimeters long. Microstegium is native to India and Japan, and it possesses characteristics typical of many invasive species. It grows quickly, fruits within a single season, produces abundant seed, and easily invade habitats that have been disturbed by natural or flooding and anthropogenic mowing tilling sources. It's locally abundant, able to displace native wetland and forestry understory vegetation with its dense, expanding monospecific patches. It is usually found under moderate to dense shade and moist conditions, but it does not persist in areas with periodic standing water nor in full sunlight. Manual or mechanical techniques may be the best method for controlling Microstegium, since it is a shallow-rooted annual. Hand pulling, however, is extremely labor-intensive, is feasible only for small infestations, and will need to be repeated and continued at least 7 years to exhaust the seed supply and the seed bank. Mowing may be an effective control method if carried out in late summer when the plants are in peak bloom, but before seed is produced. For extensive infestations where mechanical methods are not practical, systemic herbicides such as imazimeth, plateau, or glyphosate roundup or rodeo in wetland areas, or grass-specific herbicides like phenoxypropyclaim, cethoxidim, vantage, or post, the next spring typical pre-emergent herbicides for crabgrass will provide season-long control. A gray leaf spot update from Rich Buckley at Rutgers University. Gray leaf spot continues to be a disease concern for golf course superintendents. The disease was diagnosed this week on samples from golf courses in Delaware, New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. Most of the damage is in established perennial ryegrass rough areas, but we've seen disease in fairway height turf. On affected sites, mow off as much of the damaged grass as possible. Make an application of a strobel urine fungicide and lightly fertilize to enhance regrowth. Seed the thin areas. Remember, seedling turf is very susceptible to the disease, so be sure to use blends of new or improved perennial ryegrass varieties. Most of them have some degree of gray leaf spot resistance bred into them. Use a blend just in case the resistance fails in one of them. Be on the alert. The window for gray leaf spot activity stretches into October. And one last comment. The sample from southern Delaware was tall fescue. We normally don't see the disease in tall fescue this far north, but it's not impossible. And finally, my gazing in the grass update. Maintaining a healthy, vigorous turf stand is the most effective and efficient method of rust control. Since slow-growing turf in late summer is most vulnerable to outbreaks, small amounts of nitrogen, quarter to a half pound of N, in chronic trouble spots, shaded and possibly compacted areas will help control the disease. The nitrogen will promote leaf growth and allow for regular mowing, which helps the turf outgrow rust's relatively slow infection cycle. Avoiding irrigation during the relatively early evening also will help limit disease spread by lessening the chance of an extended dew period. DMI and Q and strobel urine fungicides are very effective against rust, but on well-established turf should be considered only as a remedial treatment when cultural practices fail to prevent an outbreak. On newly seeded stands, fungicide should be applied at the first sign of disease. In most cases, a single application of an effective fungicide combined with efforts to encourage turf growth will quell outbreaks. Turf renovation with reduced maintenance in mind. Many turf areas are in need of some form of renovation following a wet then hot summer. Most are looking for quick cover and just want it to look good. And typically at this time of year, many are just done with their lawns. Now is the time to consider planting finely fescue blends in areas with little traffic to reduce mowing requirements, improve shade tolerance, and possibly reduce weed invasion. Fescue varieties such as Wilma, Sandpiper, Rescue 911, Reliant 2, and Oxford all have been shown to have allelopathic properties that will reduce weed invasion. In addition, sheep fescue variety Quattro blended with hard fescues will establish quickly and reduce overall mowing needs. A note about fall coring. If the soil is not compacted, coring will actually negatively impact soil physical properties. The purpose of aerification is to reduce soil bulk density and improve air porosity and water infiltration. It is best done when soil temperatures in the mid-60s. Aerify fields when the turf is actively growing and environmental stress is high, high temp, low soil moisture are low, so the turf can recover from the coring. Initially, coring injures roots, and when the soil is dry, it is likely to cause even more root damage. Over the long run, roots will recover, and the benefits of coring now will be seen later in the fall or spring. When fields are in use, solid tine coring is often performed because it minimizes surface disruption. Keep in mind that it is not as effective as hollow tine coring in improving soil physical properties, but does provide greater soil strength. Hollow tine coring will do a better job of reducing soil bulk density, improving water infiltration and air porosity, but can bring more poaceous to the surface. If annual bluegrass is a concern, then use solid tines. No matter which aerification method you use, remember that the size and spacing of the tines influences the area of impact. For example, half-inch tines spaced on 2-inch centers will impact only about 5% of the surface, whereas 5/8-inch tines spaced on 1 to 2-inch centers will impact 15% of the surface. Ideally, coring should impact about 8 to 10% of the turf surface, which is about 10 to 15 holes per square foot. Also, vary the depth of coring to minimize the chance of developing a cultivation plan layer right below the depth of coring. And finally, athletic field paint affects turf growth. A recent study published from NC State University found that paint altered photosynthesis and thereby growth of tall fescue turf. Paint treatments were applied weekly for 6 weeks. Over a six-week period, all treatments reduced turf color based on color and dilution. Red no dilution paint produced a 75% reduction in total canopy photosynthesis over 6 weeks, while white 1-to-1 diluted paint only produced a 19% reduction. Spectroradiometry data suggests that this is likely due to reductions in photosynthetically active radiation, with red paint absorbing 51% of incident PAR, while transmitting and reflecting 6 and 43% respectively. White paint transmitted 5% of PAR while reflecting 95%. Alterations in light spectral quality resulting from athletic field paint applications can affect photosynthetically active radiation, which may result in reduced turf grass health. Thank you for joining me for the weekly installment of the Cornell Turf Grass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turf grass information. I'm Frank Rossi here at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.